Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great day when the nation is getting ready for the most recent arrest, the most recent surrendering to authorities by former President Donald J. Trump. He will be doing that a couple of hours from now in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Fulton County prosecutor, Fani Willis. Meanwhile, there continues to be all kinds of reaction and all kinds of rearranging of various deck chairs concerning the debate last night and the Tucker-Trump colloquy that occurred as an alternative to that debate. Eight of the leading Republican candidates for president, all of the leading candidates except for President Trump, gathered in Milwaukee. They exchanged ideas, and some of the sharpest exchanges involve foreign policy, in particular our support for Ukraine and its struggle for existence and survival against Russian invasion. And this coming at a time when Yevgeny Prigozhin, one of the most prominent opponents or rivals, you could even say, of President Putin, is dead and apparently viewed as a strengthening of Putin's hold on power in Russia. With all of that going on, it's a real privilege to welcome back to the show Ambassador John Bolton, former UN ambassador, former national security advisor for President Trump, and an expert and a leader on the issue of foreign policy. Let me ask you, first of all, John, if you watched the debate last night.
I did. I must say I did not watch the Tucker Carlson-Donald Trump alternative programming, but I took a few looks at some of the clips and some of the transcript this morning, and it was not a tough choice to watch the debate, and I'm convinced I didn't miss anything at all by not watching the Trump interview.
Well, it was very clear. Tucker has decided that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. They did speak about that, and they spoke about President Trump spoke about his leadership on water pressure.
Those must have been two of the most exciting moments that occurred. I mean, it was Trump just reviving the golden oldies about how he was being picked on and there's a witch hunt and so on and so forth, which sounds a lot like what the entire 2024 campaign will be like if he gets the Republican nomination.
Well, there was also a question about whether he expects that there will be civil war here in the United States, and neither Trump nor Tucker ruled that out. And then Tucker asked this extraordinary question, which we've played for people, where he asked, they've gone after you with impeachment, they've gone after you with indictments. Do you think that next the Democrats are going to try to have you killed? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say this is part of the Trump victimization campaign, and I'm doing this for you, and they're after me because of you. And to me, it's just one more example of how victimization has suddenly become the theme of the Republican Party. This is, let's forget Ronald Reagan for a minute, this is not Jack Kemp's party. I don't remember Jack Kemp ever complaining he was a victim of anything, and it was hope and optimism, morning in America, and that sort of thing that characterized a successful Republican Party. It was the Democrats who complained about everything, and Trump is turning us into Democrats.
Okay, so leaving that aside for a moment, there was sharp exchanges at the debate, which I'm sure you saw, between Vivek Ramaswamy on the one side and then Mike Pence and Nikki Haley on the other, concerning America's policy in Ukraine. And, of course, there was lusty applause from the audience when Vivek Ramaswamy was saying things like, why are we spending all this money defending the Ukrainian border when we won't defend our own border? What do you think is the most effective way to answer people like Vivek Ramaswamy who want to cut off American support for the Ukrainians?
Well, you know, there are many arguments that could be made, and importantly, Joe Biden is not making them often enough or effectively enough. And I think that is a partial explanation for the decline in American support for Ukraine. But specifically on this point about the border, which is a common refrain among some Republican circles, it is a total non sequitur. I agree that our border policy is inadequate, but that doesn't excuse an inadequate policy in Ukraine. The notion that Ukraine is not strategically significant to the United States is flatly wrong. Ron DeSantis has said it's a secondary or tertiary issue. That is not correct. It has been bedrock American foreign policy since 1945 that peace and stability in Europe are in America's vital national interest. That's why we created NATO, among other reasons. And what the Russian invasion of Ukraine last year did was not only threaten Ukraine, but imperiled NATO allies throughout Eastern and Central Europe and endangered other former parts of the Soviet Union, now independent, that are important to us as well. If we don't rebuff this aggression by Russia in a convincing way, by aiding the Ukrainians, not by fighting ourselves, by aiding the Ukrainians, it will give Russia victory in Ukraine, which will be destabilizing in Europe. It will encourage Russia to do this elsewhere, further destabilization. And perhaps worst of all, the lesson it will teach Beijing is that the U.S. won't stand up to aggression on the continent of Europe, let alone thousands of miles away across the Pacific. So these are just the starting places of why this is important to America and why American leadership is so important, not just for Ukraine, but for America.
Well, this you're echoing part of what Ambassador Nikki Haley said last night in response to some of this conversation. What do you say, John Bolton, to those who claim that Europe is simply not taking its share of the burden?
Well, I think there are parts of Europe that are definitely not taking their share of the burden, and it has been a consistent problem with NATO allies for quite some time. And Trump deserves a measure of credit for trying to push for more of the European allies to meet the commitments they voluntarily made in 2014. To reach 2% of their GDP for defense spending by 2024. Now, Trump was pushing them because he was hoping they wouldn't make it and it would justify America withdrawing from NATO, which I believe he will do in a second Trump term. But for those who want to strengthen NATO, because, by the way, it strengthens the United States to have strong alliances, it remains important to say we're not giving people a free ride. We're not doing this in Ukraine or any of the other forward American positions around the world. We're not doing this as a favor for the allies. We're doing it because it benefits us. And believe me, nobody else is going to do it for us.
And the countries of NATO that are doing their share, we will get to, because the reports are that particularly Germany has begun to step up with increased defense spending, which is what they had committed to do. We will talk about more and about U.S. foreign policy and what the death of Prigozhin means for Putin's future. We'll talk about that with Ambassador John Bolton. His book, it's a scintillating bestseller, The Room Where It Happened. He's the former assistant to the president for national security affairs for the NSA. We will be right back on The Michael Medved Show with John Bolton.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
I really enjoy your program. I listen to talk radio all day. You're definitely right up there, the cream of the crop.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
We'll be right back.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
What a pleasure to speak to Ambassador John Bolton, the former ambassador of the United States to the United Nations, former assistant to the President for National Security Affairs that was under President Trump, the author of the book, The Room Where It Happened, about his experience in the White House at a very crucial and decisive time. John, when you look at what is going on in Russia right now, the assumption is that with the apparent death of Prigozhin, first of all, do you believe the reports that he almost certainly has died? And secondly, do you credit the assumption that the authorities in the Kremlin, particularly Vladimir Putin, may have had something to do with the death of the head of the Wagner group? Your assumption?
Yeah, I think we can pretty well conclude that Prigozhin is dead. Putin has made a statement referring to him in the past tense and saying he'd done good things for the cause, but had made a few mistakes. And I think, at least in Putin's mind, he knows all that he needs to know. And while there's certainly huge gaps in our knowledge of exactly what happened, I think the odds are overwhelmingly in favor of the proposition that Putin either ordered it directly or was not at all unhappy and subordinate took the initiative. We don't know exactly how. There are different theories. Some leaked from American intelligence sources that there was a bomb on Prigozhin's planes, others that perhaps he was shot down by an anti-aircraft missile flying past Tver, northwest of Moscow. I'll let the experts debate that, but that plane certainly fell out of the sky quickly, and it had several other top Wagner Group officials on it, along with Prigozhin, which indicates a real lapse of security on their part. So it looks to me like a old style KGB hit job and very professionally done by people who do a lot of it.
Does it reflect a solidification of power, or does it reflect growing weakness and insecurity on the part of President Putin?
Again, with the caveat that there's much that we don't know, I think this does strengthen Putin's hand. The one question that we can't answer, at least I can't answer, is why did it take him so long to do it? And my guess is it's because Putin wanted to solidify or increase his certainty that he had control over Wagner Group forces in the Middle East and North Africa, and particularly in Ukraine. We shouldn't forget that Wagner Group was a Putin idea. He put Prigozhin in charge of it. He funded it initially with Russian government money. It then became a successful entrepreneur out in the third world in precious stones and a variety of other minerals, and is now a kind of a huge mega empire. But Putin created it to give Russia military capability in those regions that was deniable. And that is still important to him. So I think he probably timed this in a way that he thought he had effective control over the Wagner Group. He doesn't want it to go away. He just wants to make sure he controls it. And I think in Russia, we just have to acknowledge not everybody looks at these things the same way we do, that the people of Russia see this, that they know who did it, who ordered it, and to them it shows Putin's back in charge.
In terms of what that means for the fate of the war, the consensus seems to be that Ukraine has been making progress, but it's slow and painful and bloody. Your anticipation of what, say, the next 6 months to a year brings to the struggle in Ukraine?
Yeah, if Ukrainian progress remains slow and not very significant, and I would say before we leave that, for one very good reason, which was American and NATO assistance to Ukraine was slow and ineffective and doled out piecemeal and not in a strategic fashion, which gave the Russians time they needed to fortify their defensive positions in eastern and southern Ukraine. But if we have effectively gridlock on the battlefield, let's say in 60 days, I am very worried that the Russians may say, look, this war's gone on long enough. Let's have a ceasefire in place and let's have negotiation. Which, if they can get a ceasefire, they will create an effective new Russia-Ukraine boundary along that line of control. They will count on leaders in France and Germany who want to turn the page here and find a way to go back to doing business as usual. And they may find friends in the White House who don't want to go and do an election campaign fighting a war that they themselves don't explain very well.
And what do they need to do to explain the war better? Because, again, it seems that the other party, the Republican Party, is the one that's divided particularly on the issue of the war in Ukraine and our support for the Ukrainians?
Well, I think the failure to explain how Ukraine ties in strategically with American national interest, and to be very clear about it, and why this aids the United States to help the Ukrainians, is something people could understand and rally around. Defense Secretary Austin, probably a year ago now, came as close as anybody in the administration to saying it when he said, right now, the Russians are feeding their army into a wood chipper. And they are destroying their capability strategically to cause trouble around the world. We are also, which is a good thing from the U.S. point of view, we are also getting battlefield testing of our advanced weapon systems. And every report we have is they are performing magnificently. When we get the Abrams tanks engaged, hopefully later this fall, as soon as possible, these tanks have been mainstays in our combat arms for decades now, but they've been really advanced technologically in significant ways, not tested in battle since the overthrow of Saddam Hussein. This is very important to find out how they do. All of these things at a cost of no lives of American soldiers, none on the ground in Ukraine. And that's something that's positive, going back to the strategic reasons we talked about a few minutes ago. But that case is not being systematically made to the American people.
And obviously the idea that putting America first, which is something that has been a popular slogan, doesn't mean forgetting the rest of the world on which America's security, at least in part, depends. I asked you off the air, but you are not ready yet to make an endorsement for President of the United States because you believe that this race may end up having some new participants.
Well, I think there are people who are looking at whether to come in. I think the reality of the debate last night, I mean, we can go through each of the eight participants, is there were no outstanding stars. I think it's imperative to defeat Donald Trump from getting the Republican nomination. Imperative for the Republican Party, but for the country as well.
John Bolton, former assistant to President Trump for National Security Affairs, author of the best-selling book, The Room Where It Happened. The Room Where It Happened last night was the Fiserv Arena. Where do we go from there? We'll be right back.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. While supporters of former President Trump wait for his arrival at the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, those against him are also there. Ryan Lee explains why he's proud of Fulton County DA Fannie Willis.
For letting Trump know that the shenanigans they pulled in 2020 were insane and illegal, and it's something to be celebrated that he's finally being held to account here in Fulton County.
Abolishing the Department of Education and giving more educational control back to the states are among the ideas from Republican presidential candidates. Entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy wants Department of Education money to focus more on students. While education is among several issues, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum wants more state control. Authorities in Hawaii say 92% of the search is complete after the Maui wildfires. The death toll stands at 115. That's the latest. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, sorting through the remains of the two encounters last night, one encounter in Fiserv Arena in Milwaukee, where the Milwaukee Bucks play, and last night the eight leading candidates for the Republican nomination played on the biggest of all stages that they've had so far. And then also there was in Bedminster, New Jersey, from New Jersey, a pre-taped conversation between President Trump and Tucker Carlson. It was widely viewed as a revenge, an attempt to get back at Fox News, because both President Trump and Tucker Carlson have different reasons to be displeased with Fox News. With President Trump, it's more complicated, obviously. But one of the things that was fascinating was that Chris Wallace, for so many years, was one of the most revered, one of the most admired voices on Fox News. And both of the participants last night in the Trump-Tucker meeting agreed that Chris Wallace was a horrible person. And, in fact, I believe that President Trump referred to him as a twitchy, or it might have even been bitchy, but I'm not sure, little man. Meanwhile, they also got into this question at the very beginning of their conversation about whether Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. And Trump seemed embarrassed to talk about it, and he's right, because this is not an area where it helps his presidential campaign or helps his stature at all. It's a conspiracy theory, and but there was no room at all provided by Tucker Carlson to let the subject drop. And eventually, the two of them sounded like this. This is clip six.
possibly.
Do you think it's possible that Epstein was killed?
Oh, sure, it's possible. I mean, I don't really believe. I think he probably committed suicide. He had a life with, you know, beautiful homes and beautiful everything, and he all of a sudden he's incarcerated and not doing very well. I would say that he did, but there are those people. There are many people. I think you're one of them, right? But a lot of people think that he was killed. He knew a lot on a lot of people.
He was killed.
You think so?
I think the closer you look, I'm not a conspiracy person at all.
Nice.
I believe everything I hear. But yeah, the closer you look into it, I mean, the Attorney General of the United States, your Attorney General, clearly lied about the Epstein death.
Yeah, he was.
Nice.
He was certainly it wasn't well done. They had no cameras. They had no anything. Everybody was sleeping, and you know, a case could be made. Look, I'm not going to get involved in it.
Again, the political relevance of the alleged Epstein murder, who knows? Concerning the debate on the big stage, there was a strong response, controversial response, by Nikki Haley, one of the reasons that the three winners, according to the polling at least, for the debate last night were DeSantis, Ramaswamy, and Haley. And Nikki Haley responded after several of her colleagues had begun talking about the horrors of the American economy and the difficulty that people had adjusting their lives with the inflation, the high cost of gasoline and food, and so many other items. Nikki Haley had this to say about where responsibility actually lies. A clip five.
No one is telling the American people the truth. The truth is that Biden didn't do this to us. Our Republicans did this to us, too. When they passed that $2.2 trillion COVID stimulus bill, they left us with 90 million people on Medicaid, 42 million people on food stamps. No one has told you how to fix it. I'll tell you how to fix it. They need to stop the spending. They need to stop the borrowing. They need to eliminate the earmarks that the Republicans brought back in. And they need to make sure they understand these are taxpayers. Dollars, it's not their dollars. And while they're all saying this, you have Ron DeSantis, you've got Tim Scott, you've got Mike Pence, they all voted to raise the debt, and Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt. And our kids are never going to forgive us for this. And so at the end of the day, you look at the 2024 budget, Republicans asked for $7.4 billion in earmarks, Democrats asked for $2.8 billion. So you tell me who are the big spenders. I think it's time for an accountant in the White House.
Vice President Pence.
And then later, Nikki Haley spoke up on behalf of Vice President Pence. All of the candidates were asked, did Pence do the right thing in certifying the election of Joe Biden? And all of the candidates seemed to agree that he did, except for Ramaswamy. And here is Nikki Haley speaking about her colleague Mike Pence. This is clip 13.
I do think that Vice President Pence did the right thing, and I do think that we need to give him credit for that. But what I will also tell you is, look, when it comes to whether President Trump should serve or not, I trust the American people. Let them vote. Let them decide. But what they will tell you is that it is time for a new generational conservative leader. We have to look at the fact that three-quarters of Americans don't want a rematch between Trump and Biden. And we have to face the fact that Trump is the most disliked politician in America. We can't win a general election that way.
Okay, when she says most disliked politician, when it comes to a negative view of Trump, he has the highest negatives of any politician in the country. And partially that's because everybody knows him and everybody has an opinion on Trump. But they recently did a survey. It was the National Opinion Research Center, where they asked people, would they be planning to vote for Trump or would they never vote for Trump? And 53% of Americans, a majority, said they would never, under any circumstances, vote for Trump. And another 11%, so a total of 64% of Americans, another 11% said they probably wouldn't vote for Trump. Meanwhile, Chris Christie, he did not have President Trump to take on directly as he had dreamed of and as many people had eagerly awaited. But he did have the opportunity to praise Mike Pence for the stand that he took on January 6th. This is Governor Christie about a former governor of Indiana named Mike Pence. Listen,
Mike 14. Pence stood for the Constitution, and he deserves not grudging credit. He deserves our thanks as Americans for putting his oath of office and the Constitution of the United States before personal, political, and unfair pressure. And the argument that we need to have in this party before we can move on to the issues that Ron talked about is we have to dispense with the person who said that we need to suspend the Constitution to put forward his political career. Mike Pence said no, and he deserves credit for it.
Okay, and again, there was a smattering of applause. The breaking news from Mediaite about the ratings for the debate and for the conversation with Trump and Tucker. We will give you that information. A little bit surprising, given some of the expectations. We will get to that coming right up on the MedVet Show. You know how the line to the song goes. It's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy. It's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinary. Extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This breaking news concerning the debates last night. Fox News' first Republican debate of the 2024 presidential election cycle exceeded expectations and brought in 12.8 million total viewers. That, according to new figures just released by the Nielsen ratings. Fox broke a record back in 2015. 2015 was right after Trump came down the escalator when he was a fresh candidate and he was new and he was exciting. Fox broke a record in 2015 with its first debate in that cycle, raking in 24 million total average viewers. The most watched primary debate up until that point in the history of television. The 12 debates of the 2016 cycle averaged around 15 million viewers, with the January 28th debate, which Trump boycotted. You may remember that. He didn't come to Iowa for that debate. That having brought in only 12.5 million. And the years since then, the industry has contracted with the rise of streaming services and so-called cord cutters who abandon cable, making the viewership last night all the more impressive, so says Mediaite. In the 25 to 54 age demographic, the debate hosted by anchors Brett Baer and Martha McCallum brought in 2.82 million total viewers. The debate was also broadcast live on Fox Business Network, Fox News Digital, and Fox Nation, bringing the total viewership to 13 million, making it the highest-rated non-sports cable telecast of all of 2023 so far, and topping more than 70% of all presidential primary debates in the last two cycles of 2016 and 2020, that according to Fox. Meanwhile, the competition, and there was competition, from Tucker Carlson, who interviewed President Trump. It was in front of a fireplace. It's summertime. There was no burning fireplace, but it was seemed to be a comfortable guest room or something of that nature. Carlson's interview with Trump has been reposted, which was formerly known as retweeted, 171,800 times. A quote posted, formerly quote tweeted 14,500 times and liked 578,000 times, bookmarked 46,000 times, and has been replied to around 47,000 times. Not especially low numbers. It's undeniable that Trump has a lot of supporters, many of whom swarm on what used to be Twitter, which is now X. Meanwhile, a summary of the debate by somebody who wasn't too thrilled with it, especially with one of the participants. This was the emotional reaction of Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe on MSNBC.
So it was a fascinating debate. I've got to say Ramaswamy was going around. He really was insulting everybody's bought and paid for. What I found in politics is when you have somebody going around the stage saying everybody's bought and paid for, they're the one who's bought and paid for. But he reminded me of Tracy Flick in that old that old movie about politics. Reese Witherspoon as Tracy Flick. And he's just this little kid going around trying to say the right lines and do the right things. Everything was so prepackaged. There wasn't a conspiracy theory he didn't follow down. There wasn't an insult he didn't launch. It was all so miserable. But it was a fascinating debate in other aspects. Nikki Haley and, you know, DeSantis kind of was like Biden. Like, I know they both will love to hear that. But DeSantis just kind of stayed in there. He didn't do anything great. Anybody that wanted him to, like, save his campaign are going to be disappointed. Anybody that wanted to see him collapse would have been disappointed. He just kind of hung in there.
And he did. And, again, according to the polling, or at least the first polling, most people who actually watched the debate saw DeSantis as the winner. Of course, he was set up for that because being the front runner among those eight people, he was right in the center of the stage and he got the very first question. Former President Trump is going to be surrendering to authorities today, later today, in his 2020 election fraud case, which will mark the first time the television cameras will broadcast one of his criminal proceedings. Trump, who is 77, is expected to turn himself in at Fulton County Jail today on 13 counts of racketeering, conspiracy, and other charges related to his efforts to invalidate the Georgia results of the 2020 presidential election. Unlike his previous surrenders in New York City, Miami, and Washington, D.C., it's the surrender tour. Trump is expected to be fingerprinted and have his mugshot taken before posting a $200,000 bond. I am so sure that they will make a T-shirt. The Trump MAGA campaign, they will make a T-shirt with his mugshot on it. They might put it an American flag as background, but that will be a big seller. There's a T-shirt that they're selling apparently associated with the Haley campaign that says on it, go ahead, underestimate me. That will go well. And that apparently is popular in those quarters. Ahead of his arrival, Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee okayed a request from four local television stations to allow live cameras and other recording technology in the courtroom through September 8th. That's what the documents show. McAfee's ruling did not address whether cameras will be allowed at the trial or other upcoming proceedings, but they might be, because we're talking about the state of Georgia, not a federal proceeding. Meanwhile, tomorrow we're going to be reviewing two movies, one of them featuring Liam Neeson, and he plays an international businessman who all of a sudden finds out that his car has been planted with a bomb. And if he stops driving his kids to school, he has to continue driving around and around and around, the bomb will go off and they will all die. The movie is called Retribution, and as you can't forget, 30 years ago, there was a movie about a bus in the same situation that helped make stars of Sandra Bullock and of Keanu Reeves. And that's 30 years ago. This is a intense, skillfully made film, but is it worth seeing? We'll tell you tomorrow. Also coming out tomorrow is one of those rare films that tries hard to be an accurate retelling of history. But part of what it demonstrates is that history isn't always exciting. And it's the story of the Prime Minister of Israel, Golda Meir, who's played by Helen Mirren, Oscar winner. And Helen Mirren plays Golda, who is struggling far from the front of battle to make the decisions necessary to save Israel during the October War of 1973, the Yom Kippur War. Is it live up to its expectations? Liev Schreiber is also in the film playing Henry Kissinger. So for people interested in history and politics, there's something there. The film is called Golda. We also will be speaking to another historical expert and reporter about this Washington Post expose about the human brain exhibit scandal at the Smithsonian, where a racist brain collection created by a suspect curator in the early 1900s was used as a way of demonstrating the evolutionary superiority of the white race. Looking at that story, which has its horrifying elements. And then Chris Saliza will be joining us, veteran reporter, to talk about the debate, 2024, and the direction that things are likely to go in this ongoing campaign. And also his book on presidents and their frequently obsessive relationship with sports. Thinking of poor Governor Burgum and his...
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master plan destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.